I'm going to read today from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. I'll finish there at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. It goes without saying that we are in a remarkable period of time. You may be thinking that I'm referring to this outbreak of the coronavirus, COVID-19, and without doubt, that is a remarkable period in which we are living. But long before the outbreak of COVID-19, and my dear friends, long after this pandemic is put to one side, we are still, those of us who shall remain, we are still living in a remarkable period in the whole plan and purpose of God, because we are living between the two advents of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know in a historical sense, we can think of the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then as the scripture directs us very clearly, there is a second advent. There is that second coming when he shall come in power and glory, when every eye shall see him. The scripture unequivocally refers to this period in which we are living as the last day, or even the day of the Lord. It's interesting to think of the language the scripture uses when it speaks of the day as opposed to the night. It is a time and a period when we must be doing and active and busy for the Lord, because when that night comes, when that period dawns upon us, then it shall not be a period when we can labour for the Lord, because everything will reach that consummation. When the Apostle Paul was writing to believers here in this second letter that was written to the church at Thessalonica, it is clear that he has in view the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems from when we read these words that there had been error, there had been false teaching which had begun to spread, and it began to dominate and to influence the thoughts and the thinking of the people. One of the strains of false teaching that was going about, and you'll see it very clearly for yourself when you read into chapter 2 and throughout the verses, is that the word was going around that this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was imminent. Not in the sense that we might say that, you know, it's imminent for us because we're always looking ahead to what is coming, but the word was going around that it's any second, it's any moment. And this had actually a detrimental effect upon the church. If you read into chapter 2 and you read into chapter 3, you discover that people began to stop living as they should have lived for God. They began to even stop labouring and working. And there in chapter 3, in verse 10, Paul makes it very clear. He says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." And so you can see from the language and the tenor and the tone of Paul's writings to the church here, that despite they had this noble thought in mind, that any second, any day, almost next week, the Lord Jesus Christ shall come again. And that was far from the matter, if you think how far back this was in church history. The influence and the impact and the effect it had upon the Christian was anything but good. Now, I believe, and I'm sure most of us all agree, that same experience, that same problem, that same harm has always been played out time and time again. It is very easy to be distracted from the main aspects of our Christian life and the reason why we are here and for the kingdom of God for such a time as this, is when we start to hear rumours, we start to hear gossip, we start to hear words coming our way. And what was the problem? Well, Paul identifies it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. He says that ye be not soon shaken in mind, and so on. Now in verse 1, when he beseeches the brethren and the sisters and the people of God, he says, by the coming of our Lord Jesus. Often in scripture, when that phrase is used, by the something of, then what the apostle or the writer is doing is using something that is already established or something that has happened as a means to generate enthusiasm and desire to go on. So Romans 12 is a very clear example when Paul speaks about the mercies of God, and he has thought about all of the historical actions of God in salvation, what we know to be true, what has happened, what we enjoy, and that moves us onwards in the Christian life. However, here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, the language by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is clearly something which hasn't happened yet. So Paul is saying, with regard to, we beseech you, we beg you, with regard to something that is yet to be. Yes, keep it in mind. Yes, let this be in your thoughts. Yes, let the day of the Lord be a thought that fills your heart, because we're to live always in the light of it. As we think of other scripture language, James, for example, the judge stands before the door. We're to so speak, and we should so do as those that shall be judged by that perfect law of liberty. I'm not saying that we dispense with the approach or the coming of our Lord, but we're not to be entangled. We're not to be shaken. We're not to be stirred. We're not to be troubled, as was the case here. Now, what we find in our present climate, and there are lots of areas of grey. I readily accept that when it comes to the government decisions, our responsibility in terms of how we respond to all this. I'm putting that to one side, because one of the most troubling aspects that I see sometimes on social media, online, and being circulated by Christians is this thought that, you know, everything is now meaning that tomorrow is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything becomes a mark of a beast. Everything becomes a conspiracy in an eschatological situation. And we have to remind ourselves that this is not what the Lord wants us to do. That's taking a current matter and taking it and reading it into the scripture and then drawing out something that God never intended to be there. And I can say that with great authority, because when I look at the words here, Paul is saying here that this has happened here. You're not to be listening to what people are saying and influencing you. No, you're to be occupying till the Lord comes. You're to be evangelizing till the Lord comes, but don't be shutting yourself up. Don't be troubling your mind every day. And think about what we're to guard against. We're to guard against being shaken so soon and the suddenness of it. That's what he says in verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken or suddenly shaken. Many of us as Christians can suffer from that. I have on occasions, I'm sure we have. The mind can be here and there. The thoughts can be one way or another. And do you not think Satan himself desires that? He wants to shake us and stir us and trouble us in any way possible. It is so important, Christian, that we are grounded in our understanding of the Word of God, and that we are consistent and steadfast, and we are unmovable, and we're always abounding. What in? The work of the Lord. That's the calling of God. Whether we're 1 week, 1 month, 100 years before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be those, and we're to have our oils ready, and we're to have our lamps trimmed and burning. So we're not to be soon shaken. Guard against that, my friend. Guard against also the place where we are often shaken. He speaks of the mind. And then when you think of the trouble in verse 2, often refers to the heart. So in your mind, in your heart, these are often under great attack. And often under siege, we might say. Let your mind be saturated with things that we know. Scripture which is revealed. Doctrine which is clear and true. The word of God that never fails us. Let the mind not be filled with all of the ifs and the buts and the social media scares that we see around us. Let the mind be filled with the thoughts of Christ. And then there's also the need to be guarded against the sources, the where these troubles come from. And Paul mentions these things. He speaks here of not being shaken, neither by spirit, not by word, not by letter. He's not referring to the Holy Spirit. He's speaking about false prophecies, false so-called prophetic voices, by words, by false letters which have been penned, by letter, by speeches, by all of these things. He says even things that resemble letters like we've given unto you, Paul says. They can have an authentic look to them. They can almost seem believable, but they are detrimental. They are harmful. And all they're going to do is shake you and stir you and trouble you and keep you from your Lord. So he says to them, before he says anything else about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, here is his word of encouragement an exhortation, and it's my word for you this week, for today, and I trust for all of these years. Don't be soon shaken in mind or troubled. Keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our Father, we want to look ahead to that great day when our Saviour shall come. But Father, we don't want to be influenced by those things around us that will be troubling to us. Help us to be those who are grounded in the Word of God alone and be steadfast and true and firm as the people of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.